Buy with Rob is your best choice when purchasing your new home in the Puget Sound area. Call 360-710-9425 today and get started on the best home buying experience you will ever have. Go to buywithrob.com today.
One of the Sirius Cybernetic Corporation's creations is the Nutrimatic drink dispenser, one of which has just provided Arthur Dent with a plastic cup filled with a liquid which is almost, but not quite, entirely unlike tea. The way it works is very interesting. When the drink button is pressed, it makes an instant but highly detailed examination of the subject's taste buds, a spectroscopic analysis of the subject's metabolism, and then sends tiny experimental signals down the neural pathways to the taste centers of the subject's brain to see what is likely to be well received. However, no one knows quite why it does this, because it then invariably delivers a cup full of liquid that is almost, but not quite, entirely unlike tea.
Hello?
Podcasts are verbal narcissism for ugly journalists.
Hello, can I talk to Mr. David? Dave Allman?
Approach and identify.
Hello?
I suppose I should have said it resembles tea.
So, two heads is what does it for a girl?
Man, battle stations, vessel.
Chief of Watch, sign the general alarm.
From the Buy With Rob studio, located in beautiful Silverdale, Washington, this is the Dave Bowen Show. Now, here is your submarine qualified, well-coffeed, stuffy, elitist history buff host, Dave Bowen.
Well, this county has business fire.
This point in time, initiating fire.
Initiating fire.
Well, good morning, good evening, or good afternoon, wherever you are, whatever you do. A lot of things happening in the world today, most of them far beyond our control, you might say. So, perhaps it's time we took a pause and thought about life and thought about the laws of gravity, tea, how to drink tea, the history of tea, the future of tea, politics and or the news. Don't touch that dial, just try to hear me out for a while. Many people, including the geniuses at the Sirius Cybernetics Corporation, think that all you need to do to properly drink tea is put a brownish liquid at some temperature roughly above 90 degrees in a cup. They could not be more wrong. Even a German tourist getting out of her vehicle to take a selfie with elephants could not be more wrong. Today, we will teach you how to drink tea. Here's how you get a hold of me. Text machine, voicemail machine are open. Area code 209-565-DAVE. That's 565-3283. The email remains Dave at thedavebowmanshow.com. And, of course, we're on the web. Look for The Dave Bowman Show on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes. And use your preferred non-denominational web search browser to take you to thedavebowmanshow.com. Eloqui conizio. Greatest enemy of knowledge is not ignorance. It's the illusion of knowledge. Pretty jazzed today. I get to do something today that I have never done before. Well, I mean, it's kind of like one of those things I've done before, but I really doing it in a new way. So the last time I went to a Seattle Mariners game was in 1988. It was in Baltimore, and it was great. I mean, the Mariners won because it was the 1988 Baltimore Orioles. And if you know anything about your history, you know the 88 Orioles were not good. I had gone to a game in Baltimore in 87 after moving to the East Coast. The last time I went to a Seattle Mariners game in Seattle was 1986. It was on my birthday, September 20th, 1986. And saw Mike Brown throw a one-hitter against Kansas City. And have not been to a game in Seattle since. I've not actually been to a major league game since 1999. And tonight I'm going to the Mariners game in Seattle at the new stadium. It's 20 years old. It's new to me, right? That's what they say. If you haven't been there before, it's new to you. So I guess it's technically new to me. So I'm pretty excited about that. And that has me pretty distracted because I'm trying to figure out what exactly to wear. I have my 1979 Mariners jersey, a Willie Horton jersey, but I also have an Ichiro jersey, and I have a Randy Johnson jersey. I also have a generic Mariners jersey. I don't know what to wear. What's the word for it? I'm prissy about my hats. My Mariners hat is, as you see two of them right here. This is the 1987-88 hat. This is my favorite one right there. The 82-86 hat. I love that logo. But of course, that's not what they wear now. Now they wear that round S thing it's okay. It's better than the Rockies. That's for damn sure. But it's not my favorite. So anyway, I will probably be wearing that hat this evening. And I'll have to pick a shirt to go with it. I'm excited about it. It's something that I've wanted to do for a long time. Take them all, change between innings. Yeah, that's a little complicated. A little too complicated for me. Welcome to the show. It's Friday. We made it through the week. We have survived. And it has come to my attention that some of you out there do not know how to drink tea. I know that surprises you because you think to yourself, well, you know, all you want to do, all you do is take a liquid that's brownish and you heat it up and then you pour it in a cup and then you drink it. And that's pretty much it. Of course, if it were that simple, then everybody would be doing it. But it's not that simple. And it's much more complex than that. I mean, there's a difference between afternoon tea and high tea. There's a difference between the types of tea. But how many types of tea are there? Do you know off the top of your head, how many different types of tea are there? Anybody? Bueller. See, if you don't know the basics, how can you be expected to conduct yourself in any kind of civilized manner? I am a firm believer that the decline of Western civilization can be traced directly to the fact that we don't know how to drink tea anymore. Now, look, tea is not my favorite thing in the world. It is what is in my mug today. In fact, it is my favorite tea. It is premium oolong tea, which is something that I really like. I go to a local Chinese grocer here and I get this particular tea. I'm also fond of some other types of tea, but for my money, oolong is really the best. You know, it suits me well. It's something that I enjoy. It's not quite the darkest of dark teas, but neither is it white tea. It's not, you know, it's kind of towards the right side of the spectrum, as it were. Not all the way to the complete right, and certainly not all the way to the wussy left over there, where you just have the plain, you know, it's basically hot water in some cases. Oolong is what I enjoy, and it's what tastes good to me. Now, there are plenty of teas that I have experienced along the way that are very, very good. In fact, we have a couple of cities around here that are almost English colonies. Victoria is in Canada. It's across the Straits of Juan de Fuca. I have been there once. It's been many, many years ago. In fact, it was 1980, the last time I was there. Cammy and I are planning a trip there next summer to go for a few days because they have pubs. I mean, it's basically going to England. And so there, when I'm there, I'll be able to enjoy a pub, be able to go and get a pint of bitter and kind of enjoy myself in a very English way. And no doubt we will have tea at the hotels and that sort of thing. And then the other one is Port Townsend, which is actually about maybe 30 miles from here. It's where Cammy and I went for our anniversary. And it used to be an English town. It used to be the American version of Victoria, but it's kind of died on the vine. And so now it's just kind of a touristy place with a lot of fishing and a lot of stuff like that. And there's about 30 Chinese restaurants in the place. It's kind of funny. Chinese and Thai food here, for whatever reason, is really big. But you can get English teas there. There's a particular tea shop I like to go to where you can get some really great teas and some really great mixtures. The thing you need to understand is that there are only six kinds of tea. Everything else is a derivative of that. Everything else is a mixture. Everything else is, and that's not to say they're not good. I'm not saying that at all. But you need to understand that there are only six types of basic tea, and they range from white tea to green tea to yellow tea to oolong. That's what I said. It's fourth on the on the spectrum there. Then you have black tea, which I actually really do like. Your black teas are really, they're for Americans who really like coffee, black tea is really good. And then you have your pura teas, which are, I think they're good, but most people, they kind of avoid them because they're a little bitter and they're a little harsh. And sometimes people don't like that, but that's all the only six types of tea there are. That's it. That's it. Everything else that you might get, your Earl Greys, your breakfast teas, everything is a mixture of those with some other herbs and spices thrown in. Again, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. The best breakfast tea I ever had was in London. I had gone to Israel, and in 1997, I went to Israel. I was actually there on my birthday. We were in Tiberias on my birthday, and it happened to be Shabbat. My birthday was on Saturday. It was that day. And so at sundown, everybody starts coming out, and I was one of the first people out because I was tired of being cooped up in the hotel all day. And so I started walking on the waterfront there in Tiberias, which has nothing to do with tea, but follow me here. Anyway, the point is that as I was walking along the waterfront, all the restaurants were opening up and everybody was begging me to come in and eat. And I wasn't hungry because it was still early. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but when you're in Europe, you tend to eat much later than you do here. And I went native when I was there. I really tried to be as much not tourist as I could be while I was there. Anyway, finally, a guy talked me into coming in for a cup of coffee, and it was delicious. It was fantastic. Spent, I guess, almost 2 weeks in Israel, and then we went from there to London. Now, you got to understand, I had wanted to go to London my entire life. That is something that I dreamed of, going to London, to England. I still have a dream vacation to England. I have it mapped out. I've told Cammy, when we go to England, this is what we're going to do, and we have to go in a certain time frame. We have to be there at a certain, you know, within, I think it's 4 or 5 months leeway there, but we have to be there in a certain place. There's certain places that we have to go at certain times, and I still want to go back to England. But when I finally got to London in late September, early October of 97, I was so tired from my 2 weeks in Israel. The only thing I remember, there's two things I remember. Westminster Abbey, which was absolutely amazing. If you've never been to Westminster Abbey, I don't even know how to describe it to you. I really don't. That building is 1,000 years of English speaking history. I mean, it's just an amazing place. You can't, I'd say the history just drips off onto you, but it's so much more than that. It's tactile. You can put your hands on the graves of people who you've read about. Elizabeth I is buried there. At one point we were in Poets Corner, which is where the great poets are buried. Dylan Thomas is there. Geoffrey Chaucer is there. I'm standing at the ossuary of Geoffrey Chaucer. Okay. I've got my hands on the box. I'm touching the box where Geoffrey Chaucer is in repose. And I turned to my then wife to say, to try to put some expression of my joy at this moment. And as I turned around to face her, she glanced at me with this kind of look like, oh my God, turned to the tour guide and said, where was Elton John's piano during Diana's funeral? That's what I want to see. And I just thought, well, we're two people on different courses at this point in our lives, aren't we? So at any rate, that was the one thing I remember. And then the other thing I remember is the hotel where we had our meals, where we had breakfast, particularly because they had some tea at that breakfast. And until that moment, I never really understood tea. Never really got it. So, you know, I grew up in what is a Southern family. I mean, granted, we've lived our entire lives in the West, but my family is Southern, both in birth and in tradition. And so in my family, we drank iced tea, and it was, I don't want to say it was sweet, because that wouldn't be doing it justice. It was, at times it was like drinking molasses. It really was. I mean, it just, but that's the way Southerners like it. They like it iced and they like it sweet. And I just don't like sweet drinks. It's just not my thing. I like Coca-Cola. I get it, but I prefer Coca-Cola to Pepsi. Why? Because Pepsi is sweeter. It's just a fact. Well, I don't know anymore. They've changed the formula so many times. Who knows now? But the point being that that tea that they had at that breakfast in that hotel in London was absolutely amazing. And of course, being an American, I had no understanding of how to do these things, how to properly prepare my tea, how to stir, how to do any of that stuff. And so the waiter, I guess that's what he was. I don't really know what to call him. I don't know. He wasn't a waiter in the traditional sense because you didn't order in the traditional sense and that sort of thing. But he was kind enough to take his time and sit there for a minute and show us how to make it right. And it was so good. And all I wanted to do was sit there. I was so tired from Israel. All my life I've wanted to go to London. And now that I'm there, all I want to do is sit here and drink this tea because it was so good. And I don't even like, I'm not the guy that puts milk in my tea, generally speaking. I don't like stuff in my coffee I drink black. My tea I drink straight. I don't like a lot of stuff in it. But again, those are my preferences. When it comes to actually how to do it right, well, there are some certain things that you need to know. As I said, there were six types of tea. They all come from a single species of plant. Now, this surprised me when I discovered this because my front yard in Manteca, when I lived in Manteca for almost a decade, I had one of these plants in my front yard, and I never knew that, I did not know at the time that this is what I could have been making my own tea. And I didn't. They're called the Camilla plants. There's some 3,000 different varieties of them, but of course they're indigenous mostly to the Western Pacific, Eastern Asia, that sort of area. That's where they were initially discovered. They were named after a guy named Camilla who discovered them. He was a priest in the Philippines and stuff like that. And the history of that is pretty straightforward, of course. But then everything else that you add into that is, you know, I mean, you start with those six basics. That's all it is. And then you can add in anything else, herbs, fruits, but it's all infused tea. It's not pure tea. White tea, green tea, yellow tea, oolong, black, and puri. That's it. So that's really the deal. Now, of course, the way that they get those six different types of tea is the way they process it. So, and we could spend a lot of time on that, but this is about how to drink tea, not about how to make tea. So maybe some other time we'll do the history of those teas. Number one, never add boiling water to your teapot. Now, again, I don't have a teapot here because I'm afraid I'd spill stuff and break stuff. And if you could see my desk, you'd understand that it's my desk is a mess. I mean, it's just the way it is. You don't get to see it. What you see is behind me. You don't get to see what's actually right in front of me, which is a giant pile of crap. But you get the idea. Anyway, never add boiling water to your pot. Always, depending on the type of tea, from white tea all the way to black tea and then to the infusions, it increases in temperature. So if you're doing the white tea, you want it relatively cool, roughly 65, 75 degrees Celsius, all the way up to 100 degrees Celsius would be, you know, 212 degree boiling for infusions, but not pure tea. You can do it for that. But otherwise, for somebody like me with a black tea, almost but not quite entirely unlike boiling. Just below the boiling point, that's where you want it for your black teas to put that in there. You don't want to burn the leaves. If you put boiling water in there, you will burn them and your tea will taste burnt. You don't want that. That, you know, that's where you end up with crappy tea. And it's probably where the Sirius Cybernetics Corporation people screwed up because they probably only have one temperature of water. They think it needs to be boiling and it ends up tasting like crap. That's the problem. Also, always use fresh water. Don't reheat water. As you reheat water, as you heat up the water and it gets almost to boiling, and it starts to steam, the water vapor is going off and it's leaving behind the concentrated minerals that are naturally in the water. So if you reheat that again, you're just increasing the concentration of those elements in your water. So what you want to do is each time, you know, start over. Just get some more water. Unless you live in California, of course, where water is short, then maybe you can come up with some alternate way of doing it. But you know, use fresh water. You should only use one level teaspoon of tea leaves per person. By adding more tea, you end up making the tea too strong, and you lose the original flavor. So there's just one tea, one thing of tea, one spoonful of tea for each person that you're going to be serving. And that's important because we're going to get to this a little bit later about drinking the tea sitting around the table. You know, there's that old wives' tale, add one for the pot. No, don't do that. You're using way too much tea if you do that. Five level teaspoons for a 6-cup teapot is fine. If you're using a large leaf tea, then you need 6 level teaspoons. But otherwise, there you go. For those that use tea bags, and I am one that use tea bags, there's a convenience of the tea bag, but, you know, it's not going to give you your best flavor. Your best flavor is going to be without that, but it is convenient. And, you know, you can reuse it if you want to. I mean, that's the nice thing about a tea bag is I can get, you know, 2, almost 3 cups of tea out of that. But it's not the best way to do it. It's just the way to do it. Don't heat up your teapot. If you have a teapot, don't do that. It's not good for the teapot. It's not good for the china. It's not good for the porcelain. It could end up cracking it. Take your tea leaf, take your lid off the teapot while you don't have a teapot. Well, there's your first problem. You have to have a teapot. You can't, to do this right, to drink tea properly, you have to have a teapot. You can't just, you know, just can't put it in anything. And just, this isn't, you know, Sirius Cybernetics Corporation just pouring crap into a cup and saying, here's your tea, enjoy. No, you got to do it right. So you have to have a teapot. If you don't have a teapot, then invest in one. They're not that expensive. I actually have my grandmother's tea service from, I don't know, 100 years ago, I guess. It's going to be almost that old now that I think about it. I mean, she was born in 1917, so she got it when they got married. It's going to be up there. Anyway, I have her tea service, and I have her teapot, so that's what I use for formal teas and that sort of thing. But for just day-to-day teas, just saying, I have a Chinese teapot that I bought at the Chinese place where I get my oolong tea. I think it costs like $7, and it does a great job. So you want to get that. You want to take the lid off while the tea is being brewed. It gives oxygen in there, and you want to get it nice and oxidated, and you want to get it nice and flavorful. There you go. Some people like milk in their tea. Now, I got to be honest. I had milk in my tea when I was in London because that's the way you do it there at the tea properly and that sort of things. And it was delicious. Don't get me wrong. It's not my normal thing. It's not something that I normally would do. But if you are going to do that, always, because you're going to be making your tea in the teapot and not in your cup, put the milk in the cup first, okay? If you pour the tea in afterwards, it heats up the milk to the same temperature of the tea. It heats the milk up, makes all the proteins break down at the same rate, means you get great flavor throughout the cup of tea instead of that scum that you get on the top if you pour it in afterwards. You bring the temperature of milk back up to the same temperature of the tea. If you add the milk afterwards, all you're doing is cooling off the tea. You don't want to do that. If you're using a tea bag, however, do it the other way around. If you're using a tea bag, add the milk after the tea, after the tea bag has already been put in there. Let the tea bag steep for 3 minutes, then take it out, then add the milk. It's, you know, it's just one of those things. You're just trying to get the best flavor out of this that you possibly can. You're just trying to make this the best experience that you can possibly make it, because it's important. Your tea is going to be that experience that you're going to have for that day. And it can really affect how you do things. It really can be a big part of your day. And so you want to do it as right as possible. You want to get it in there and make sure that everything is as best it can be. I really recommend using the teapot. Again, I use tea bags, but it's just for convenience sake and the fact that I'm doing it 10 minutes before I got to be on the air, not because it's the best way to do it. So use your tea kettle. If you don't have one, go out and get one. Again, they're not expensive, and if you want to invest in the expense of it, you could buy a tea service. I've seen them range anywhere from $30 to, you know, as much as you want to spend in thousands of dollars and the likes of that. But you want to have a nice tea service. You want to have a nice way of doing this. You want to have a way of approaching that is going to enhance the experience, because the experience of tea, well, again, you can trace the decline of Western civilization to the lack of tea etiquette in this country. You can trace all of the problems that we have in this country to the fact that nobody in this country knows how to drink tea. And if we did, well, things would be a lot different. Things would be a lot better if I could get my way. Make sure you take your teas, your leaves out of the teapot after 3 minutes. 3 minutes is it, man. You don't want to leave them in there. Don't squash the tea bag on the side of your cup. I've seen people do that, and I just want to reach out and smash them. Why not? Because it will leave a bitter taste in your cup, and you don't want the bitterness. You don't want that. Tea, of course, tastes better in a teapot. We've already talked about why. And no tea is caffeine-free. Any tea that says it's caffeine-free is not, so don't believe that. It does have caffeine, but, you know, there you go. It has it. So, again, here's how to make the perfect cup of tea. Ready? Empty your kettle. Fill it with fresh water. Use only the amount that you need, not more, not less. Add one level teaspoon of tea per person, never one for the pot. Brew for 3 minutes, no more, no less. After 3 minutes, remove the tea from your teapot. Then if you're using the teapot, if you're going to have milk, put it into your cup and then add your tea. If you're going to use a tea bag, then add the tea bag and then add your milk. Got it? Then sit down at 4 o'clock with all your friends, all your family, your coworkers, whoever is around, and have tea. Just sit there and enjoy yourself. Do you have scones? Is a good thing to do. I don't have any scones, but I do have a donut. So you can sit down and you can have your donuts. You can have your scones. You can have your tea. You can have your conversation. And there's an amazing thing that happens when you're drinking tea and you're doing it right. It's virtually impossible to have an argument when you're doing that. It's virtually impossible to be mad at somebody. It's virtually impossible to be an asshat when you're doing that. And if we all sat down and did this, imagine if we all sat down at 4 o'clock local time across the country, starting at, you know, 4 o'clock in the Eastern time zone and then moving across the country all the way to Midway Island. If we all sat down at exactly 4 o'clock, the entirety of our country drinking tea for 10 or 15 minutes and just having a pleasant time of it. Wouldn't that make things better? I don't see how it can't. Back right after this.
You are listening to The Dave Bowman Show on the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. You are listening to The Dave Bowman Show on the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network.
Seriously, don't you feel better already? Hey, we could be screaming and yelling at each other. We could be ranting and raving. And you know what? Nobody's mind is going to be changed by any of it. Nobody is going to change their mind, their position, their thoughts, or their beliefs. Not one. But if you have a nice afternoon tea, then we can have a pleasant conversation about anything you want. Giants, Madison Bumgarner, had pushed back his own start so that he could face the Dodgers. Because the Giants want to beat the Dodgers. Giants got nothing to live with. Nothing to play for at all except for beating the Dodgers. And I got to tell you, as a lifelong Dodger fan, I like that. I like CC Sabathia hitting that guy in the ass last night. That was awesome. Is sun tea okay? Now we got to get into this argument about American, the way Americans drink tea versus the proper way to drink tea. And we've gone through all that. We Americans, we like iced tea. I'll tell you a little secret. I have a McDonald's cup of iced tea here, which I quite like. I love iced tea. I don't like the way my family drinks it, which is, again, basically sweetened beyond belief. you know, that's the Chick-fil-A thing, right? Chick-fil-A does that Southern sweet tea, and you can get, and McDonald's had that for a while, Southern sweet tea, and you could get that sweetened tea. I don't object to iced tea. I know it's not proper for 4 o'clock afternoon tea. For afternoon tea, absolutely not. For afternoon tea, iced tea is unacceptable. You can't do that. Now, I know maybe you don't like to drink hot drinks. Maybe you live in some place where it's, you know, 95 degrees in the afternoon, but trust me, you still want the hot tea. For afternoon tea, you still want to do it correctly. You still want to do it right, because again, it'll have that effect of slowing things down for you. It's impossible to be mad at anybody else when you're doing this. You just can't be. It's like petting a cat. You just can't be uptight about it. But for other purposes, iced tea, I think, is perfectly acceptable. I drink it fairly regularly. In fact, a few years ago, because of my medical conditions and the likes of that, I pretty much stopped drinking soda, you know, well, sodas. I shouldn't say soda, but sweetened sodas. I stopped drinking Coke. I stopped drinking Pepsi as a regular thing. Now, I still have one now and again. Not very often. There are some foods that for me, Coke really enhances the experience and the flavor. But as a general rule of thumb, I just, you know, there was a time in my life when I would drink, you know, 6-pack a day of that stuff. And those days are gone. I don't really like heavily sweetened drinks. And so when I stopped drinking those things, coffee kind of took over. Coffee, I do drink a lot of club soda. For whatever reason, club soda is my drink of choice. And I have probably 5 cases of it down in the garage, because I'll drink 6, 8, 10 cans of that a day. That's how I get my water. I drink that, and then my doctor's fine with that. But I do like iced tea as a one-off for that. And I'm an American, so to me, iced tea is great. Again, not for afternoon tea. Certainly not for high tea. But definitely not for afternoon tea. For afternoon tea, it needs to be structured. See, part of the problem is we've gotten away from how to do things properly. And we've gotten this idea that somehow or another, just as long as I yell louder than the other person, then I can do it my way. We see this in every aspect of life. I see it particularly in religion, where centuries-long traditions and century-long ideas have been replaced with this idea that you just go with whatever happens. You know, the reason why these liturgies were put together the way they were was so that they can draw you into the experience and have everybody experiencing essentially the same thing, much like an afternoon tea, where you sit down and everyone is experiencing the same thing, maybe with a little bit different flavor. Maybe you picked a green tea instead of a darker tea. Maybe you like white tea. Maybe I like oolong. But we all are having the experience together of sharing the joy of this afternoon tea. Whereas, you know, if we just, you know, hell, just do whatever we want. Just do whatever feels good. Just yell at anybody that disagrees with me. Tell everybody that's doing it the way I don't want it done that they're wrong. Well, then it kind of ruins the experience and it kind of takes that away. But by having the structure to it, by having the identity of the certain behaviors during afternoon tea, the certain things that we do and don't do. The same with going to church. Remember, there was a time when you went to church where you put on your Sunday best and you went to church and you behaved yourself. And if you didn't behave yourself, you got backhanded by your dad. Boom. Remember those days? Now you got churches out there that the whole thing is just, you know, basically come with whatever you want, as long as you're not naked. And although I guess there's places that are okay with that too. Do whatever the Spirit tells you to do. And it just becomes this disorganized Charlie Foxtrot. It's like afternoon tea with iced tea. It's just a fiasco. It doesn't enhance the experience. It takes away from it. And it destroys the purpose of what you're doing. When you sit around with your friends and your family and your coworkers or whoever else you can find at 4 o'clock in the afternoon for afternoon tea, and you're following the procedures and you're making the tea properly and you're drinking it properly. By the way, don't put your pinky up. That's That's nonsense. You don't need to do that. Just hold your cup like a normal person. Just hold your cup like you would every other day. And enjoy, as the Sirius Cybernetics Corporation would tell you. And as long as you've made it properly, it will taste like tea, not everything else. One lump or two, whatever you want in there. Whoever is mother can make sure that everybody is enjoying themselves and everybody is having a pleasant conversation and everybody is enjoying the opportunity to get to know people outside of the norm, outside of the way we normally would act, you know, the rest of the 7 hours and 45 minutes a day that we're interacting with people at work or wherever we happen to be. And we can celebrate that together. Imagine if we lived in a country where people could sit down together without acting like asshats and have a conversation about something. Be amazing, wouldn't it? But somehow or another, we've forgotten how to do that. And I submit to you, it's because we've forgotten about how to have afternoon tea. We've forgotten about how to have high teas. You don't have a high tea every day. A high tea is a very formal event. It is a, you know, we've kind of replaced it with this idea of tea party, you know, all that. But no, a high tea is where everybody gets dressed up. You put on your gaiters, you do the whole nine yards. And there's very, you know, it's not the relaxed, comfortable afternoon tea where everybody's sitting in the parlor or relaxing in the garden, whatever it is. It's a formal event. And you're expected to behave as if it's a formal event. And you learn how to behave at a formal event instead of acting like, well, if I just yell loud enough, if I just scream loud enough or pound on my desk loud enough, people will have to hear what I have to say because I'm important. I'm more important than anybody else. No, you're not. In fact, the most important thing here is that we have a shared experience around something that has spent hundreds of years being enjoyed, developed, and understood in a way that makes us all feel like we're a part of what's going on. We've gotten away from that. Anyway, back to the iced tea, back to the sun tea thing. Sun tea is fine. I don't have a problem with it. I do like iced tea. Iced tea to me is quite delicious. Iced teas, however, tend to be infused teas rather than just pure teas. Where did we go the other day? We went to lunch somewhere the other day. Oh, Red Lobster. We went to Red Lobster the other day and, you know, my wife is trying to pick between peach tree, pomegranate tea, raspberry tea, blackberry tea. And so she makes this poor girl go through this list like three times because she can't make up her mind. And then she looks at me and I just want regular iced tea. Just make it cold, put it in a glass. I'll be fine with it. And there you go. I think if we learned how to drink our tea, you know, as Americans, we tend to react negatively to tea because we see that as a very English thing. In fact, we dumped your damn tea into the harbor because we're Americans. We drink coffee. And in fact, there are letters. Was it Thomas Jefferson? I think it was Thomas Jefferson that wrote a letter to one of his friends about how he doesn't like coffee, but it's what he's drinking and serving now because of the issues with England. And he can't wait for peace with England, to everything to be restored to the normal way where we can behave like we're supposed to at afternoon tea because he really doesn't like coffee. Which I think is bizarre because I love coffee. I really do. But there's something about tea that when you do it right, when you drink it right, when you've prepared it properly, when you've taken the time to think about what goes into this, it's not just as simple as dropping a tea bag into a hot cup of water. When you've taken the thought process that goes into making this and into creating this experience that I'm going to share with other people, that causes you to step back and go, there's more to life than yelling at everybody. There's more to life than being mad about everything. There's more to life than pretending that I'm going to change somebody's mind by screaming at them, because I'm not. You might change their mind by sitting down and getting to know them, getting to talk to them over tea and a donut, maybe, because I don't have any scones. Actually, we do have scones. They're left over from the fair, but they're in the freezer, so I wasn't going to defrost them in time for this little experience with you this morning. I wasn't going to do it. There was a time when we thought that way. Even our advertising thought that way. How many of you remember the old Dr. Pepper bottles? Do you remember the old Dr. Pepper bottles and their slogan, 10, 2, and 4? And I remember as a kid not really understanding that. What is 10, 2, and 4? My mother explaining to me one day that were those were the break times. That's when people get away from their jobs and they get away from that and they go to the break room and they enjoy a few moments together. And Dr. Pepper is horning in on that by advertising, hey, have a Dr. Pepper at 10 and at 2 at 4, because you can then share it with your friends and you can get that experience. And I guess maybe it's more the concept of the afternoon tea than it is the tea itself, although I certainly would recommend having tea. But maybe it's more important that we just sit down and have a conversation that isn't about you're wrong and I'm right. Something worth thinking about, right? Something worth trying, at least. And maybe if it was more of a tradition, maybe if it was more of something that we all did all the time, rather than just some quaint tradition that, you know, you get at Disneyland because you paid an extra $150 to go to high tea or whatever, maybe it would be a different country. Maybe we would see things differently. Maybe we would act differently. Maybe. It's possible. Then again, people are people wherever you go, like German tourists who... So as we were in Yellowstone, it's been almost a month now. It has been more than a month since we were in Yellowstone, and it's still the experience. And right before we went to Yellowstone, the all over the internet was that picture of that moron getting out of his car and harassing the buffalo. You remember that? And he ends up getting arrested and prosecuted for being a moron, being drunk in public, that sort of thing, and for bothering buffalo. What did they give that guy in Ireland? What did they charge him with? Breaking a lock? Damage to a locked door? I don't know what the charge is for an annoying and a buffalo, but annoying a bison should be a federal crime. Should put that right in there. 12-point, you know, subparagraph 35, 17. Annoying a bison. And then we could come up with some unique pun. Anyway, this guy was old. So when we get to Yellowstone, we're driving through there. And of course, there's bison in the road on occasion. And same thing is happening. People are getting out of their cars to take picture of the bison. And I'm thinking to myself, you people are dumb. You people are idiots. And I almost wanted to yell at them. I almost wanted to lean out the window and say, you know, bugga bugga boo, morons. But I was more fascinated with just watching them be stupid and hoping, I really was, I'll admit it, I was hoping to see a bison explain to them why what they were doing was wrong. I was hoping for that. I didn't get to see it, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you want to look at it. Anyway, the point is that people still do this. Even after they see this on television, even after they see what's going on, they still do it, right? And I guess some German tourist was over on safari over in Africa somewhere. Heard of elephants. Now, my fascination with elephants killing people goes back a long, long way. 1985, we're on patrol, Pacific Ocean, somewhere under the water. And we get up and we copy the broadcast for some reason. I don't know, we were doing something. Anyway, we get the download of news. And so you get a whole bunch of news. It's like three pages of printed news. And no story is more than 250 words or so. But it's the last story in this news. And this thing gets passed around. It's like a newspaper. It gets passed around the whole boat. And everybody's reading it. And so I'm sitting in the cruise lounge. I'm reading this newspaper news. And I get to the last story. And the last story is about this village in India, right? And it's this tragic story. I mean, it's terrible. This village in India was trampled by this herd of elephants that were on a rampage. They'd gone through and it was like the elephants had intentionally gone out of their way, and they had, to just destroy this village. And they trampled buildings and they trampled people, and there were X number of people who had been killed and injured. And I mean, it's a tearjerker story. You're reading this and you're going, oh my God. Who knew elephants could be assholes? Who knew that? But then you get to the last line of the story, the very last line of the story. And I wish I had this in my book over there for years. Now it's not there. But the last line of the story is, quote, this is the third time the elephants have smashed the village, unquote. And then you start, and it just completely changes the way you think about the story. Up until that point, you're thinking, oh, these poor villagers. And then you're thinking, the heck are they doing to annoy these elephants? Why, Why don't they stop doing whatever it is that's pissing off the elephants? Anyway, this German tourist is in Africa, I guess, this week or last week, whenever it was. And you know, the one thing they tell you on these safaris is don't get out of the car. So what does she do? She gets out of the car to try to take a selfie with the elephants, and the elephants objected to that, and they squashed her. I know it's not a funny story, but at the same time, it's emblematic of the way that we work as human beings. It's like we think we know everything. It's as if we have decided that because we're this, we're right, and we're going to be right no matter what, even if it gets us killed. And I'm guessing that she probably never had afternoon tea. She probably never took the time to make a proper cup of tea. She probably never understood the idea that there's a way to do things that doesn't get people all riled up, that doesn't get people killed, that doesn't get people thrown out of restaurants and chased out of restaurants, that doesn't get people crying on national TV. It doesn't do those things, you see? All because we don't sit down for an opportunity to get to know one another, which is really what afternoon tea is all about. It's not about formality. It's not about being English or anything else. It's about a chance to take the time to do something right, to do it correctly, to do it properly, to put some effort into it. Because anything that requires effort brings its own reward. And if there's no effort involved, then it's not worth anything. You see the difference? Maybe having a Dr. Pepper at 10, 2, or 4 is a great idea, but what effort did you put into doing that other than opening it? When you sit down for tea and you drink tea, you have to take the time to make it. And you have to think about all the things that go into that cup of tea, the entire history of tea from the very beginning, which is, of course, what Arthur tries to do to the computer. He tries to explain all of this to the computer when it's coming up with its thing that's almost not entirely unlike tea. He tries to explain the entire history of it, and it still messes up, but eventually he gets it right. When you have to think about all those things that go into that and all the history that's involved there and all the people and all your ancestors and all the people that have gone before us that drank tea at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They had problems, sure. They had their arguments, sure. They had their wars. They shot at each other over things. But did they seem as polarized as we do today to you? Did they seem like they couldn't possibly just, I mean, at this point in our country today, you don't feel like you can sit down and talk to anybody about anything. You just don't. Maybe having afternoon tea would start that process again. Maybe it would restore some sanity to Western civilization. Maybe it would help. Certainly wouldn't hurt. Just take the time to do it right. That's all there is to it. Just take the time to think about what's going into that. Instead of just slap dash and run on your way and continue to be in a hurry, slow down. Smell the camellia plant. That's really what it is, isn't it? It's that moment of slowing down and taking the time to enjoy something instead of rushing through everything, because if I don't hurry, I won't be the first one to say, "You're wrong and I'm right." I won't be the first one to scream in front of a microphone saying, "These people are evil." God knows we need more of that, right? I got to get going. I got a baseball game to go to, and we're going over to Seattle early, so we're going to have a fun day. Take the time right now. Tell the people that matter in your life you love them very much. You'd miss them if they weren't there, so don't pass up those opportunities. You don't want to have that regret. Plausibly Live, I am Dave Bowman, and this is my show, The Dave Bowman Show, right here on the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. We're here every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. 10, 2, and 4. Maybe we'll have Dr. Pepper on Monday. Maybe. Probably not, but there you go. Anyway, we're here every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. You can listen live at podcast99.org or join us on Facebook Live, where the video show is there. The nice thing about the video show is you can still comment later, even if it's not 10 a.m. where you are. If you're watching it 3 days later, you can still comment and everything's fine. You can email me, dave@thedavebowmanshow.com, and you can, what else can you do? Oh, you can text me, voicemail me, area code 209-565-DAVE. That is area code 209-565-3283. Somebody asked me the other day, why do you still have 209 area code? Because I can't get a 3601. And everybody already knows it, so, and I already know it, so there you go. Check that out. Make sure you check us out online at podcast99.org. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. We will see you Monday for a brand new episode of The Dave Bowman Show.
Bowman Show is a Slippery Fish Entertainment production for the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. For more information or to complain about how the show offended you, the text or voicemail number is 209-565-DAVE. For more information about the show, log on to thedavebowmanshow.com.
Hey, I'm going to go do something productive. I'm going to go watch television.